Okay, today's daf is daf Chaf Hey. So we got a few lines down. The two dots, the Gemara quotes from yesterday's Mishnah, says, Ein Mechashvin Chadashim. When it comes to calculating how many years into Yovel, we don't take into account months. So let's say it's the fifth year and it's 6 months in, we don't assume it's going to be 6 years. We go back to the 5 years, we ignore the months. So the Gemara explains, Hanar Abadim quote to Braisa, Minayin She'ein Mechashvin Chadashim Mehekdesh. What's the source that you don't take into consideration the months of the years? Tamil Omar, it says in the Pasuk, V'chi shavlo akar nes ha-kesef al pi ha-shanim ha-nosaros. The Gemara darshins, shanim ata mechashev, v'vi ata mechashev chadashim. You only calculate years, you do not calculate the months. Minayin, how do you know, she'im ha-tarot la-asos chadashim l'shana, if one wants to count the months, he's allowed to if he chooses. And the reason why one would choose so, because it would be advantageous somehow to the base of Mikdash to Hekdesh to add months on. So, hey, Chidam, what's the case? Because normally, the more months you add on, if you add the next year, you're actually losing out, because as it approaches the Yovel year, then you have to pay less. So, in other words, if I'm trying to redeem a field that's Hekdesh, so then I have to calculate how many years left until Yovel, and then I give a Chamishim Shekel per year. Rather, I pay one shekel in Pundian per year. So now if I add the month, I take into consideration the month, so now I'm losing another year. It's losing a shekel for the Beis Hamikdash. So what would be an instance where calculating the months and going ahead, pushing ahead a year, would be advantageous to the Beis Hamikdash? Hey, Chidami, ask Lumar, what's the case? Kagon de Akdashe, Bipalga, Darban, Visamne. If a person's Makdash a property on the 48th and a half year, so if you calculate, you don't include the months, so you go back to the 48 years, so then you have to do, it's 2 years till Yovel, so that's a year and change, rather a shekel and change per year, that's two shkalim and two pundayin for the Hekdesh. But if you move ahead, if you push ahead into the 49th year, so the Pasuk tells us that it has to be shanim hanosar. It's only when there are 2 years do you do geruah. But let's say there's less than 2 years till Yovel, then there is no hetter of geruah. You have to pay the full 50 shekel. So that's actually a hetter. That's very advantageous for Yovel to push ahead and to include the months to be the last year where you pay the full 50 shekel as opposed to simply two shkalim. Tamalomer, how do you know v'chishev la'karin? The Karin can make a calculation. V'komakam, he can make any cheshbon he wants if it's going to benefit the Karin, the benefit of the Beis Hamikdash. He's now able to calculate the months. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now in Daf Chafem and Aleph here, Hamakdish Sadeu Bishas HaYovel. A person is Makdish his field during the years when Yovel was practiced, not during the Yovel year, but when they were still knowing the halachas of Yovel. So no saying Bizerach Chomer Saorim, for every field that's able to grow this amount of Saorim, it's Chamishim Shekel Kesev. You pay 50 Shekel Kesev per each square of that Zerach Chomer Saorim. So Mishnah explains, Hayusham Nikayim Amukim Asar Tvachim. Let's say among this field, within the field, there are some ditches that are 10 Tvachim deep. Oh, Salam Gvam Asar Tvachim. There's some large rocks that are 10 Tvachim high, but you can't really plant on them. You can't plant, it's too deep to plant, it's too, you can't plant on rocks. These cases, Aim Nimdadin Imo, you don't calculate this as part of the field that you owe money to. You could ignore those. However, if the ditches are less than 10 tvachim, or the rocks are less than 10 tvachim, so then you would include that as part of the field, and you would make that as part of the calculation of how many shkalim you owe. So then the Mishnah says, Hekdeshu shtayim mishal shanim lefnei yovel. Let's say a person gives his makdish property 2 or 3 years prior to Yovel. So the din is no sin tela upundion lishana, as we said before, each year is worth a sela or a shekel, the same thing, and a pundion, so however many years left, when a guy is going to redeem his property, however many years left till Yovel, that's how many slayim, shkalim, and pundion one would owe. The imamer, let's say the guy says, you know what, I can't pay this all up front, I want to amortize this and pay harini no sin davar shana bishana. I want to pay a little bit each year. Right, let's say he's redeeming it, there are 10 years left. So he owes 10 shkalim plus 10 pundayon. He says, that's a lot of money for me up front. Let me give you, as the years go on, I'm going to pay the money back, but I'll give you one shekel and pundayon each year and let me pay over the next 10 years. So the din is, ein shamalo, we don't listen to him, elanosin es kulob keachad, he must pay all of the money up front in one shot. So then the Mishnah concludes, there are many different dinim here, the Gemara is going to explain each of them, but the Mishnah then concludes that Echad Bailam, Echad Kaladim, whether it's the Baal who's redeeming the property, his own property, whether it's some other person, Bain, so either one has the right to pay to redeem it, and they have to pay the same exact calculation of Chamishim Shekel Bechomer Zara Sorum. So Gemara says, Mishnah says, "Uma bein bailim le kaladim." So what's the difference if they're paying the same amount? Is there a difference? What is the difference between the owner and anyone else? Ela should bailim nosin chomesh. In addition to paying whatever the value is of the property, not the value, but whatever the how many shkalim he owes, the owner has to pay an additional 1/5, an additional 20% on top of that. However, kaladim, everyone else, ain nosin chomesh. They don't pay a chomesh. It's based on the pasuk which says that imgal yigal sazad. If the person himself redeemed the land, then it's Yosef Chamishas Kesef. He pays another 1/5 on top of that. But that's only if the Baal is Gol the Sadeh. Okay, so that's a very long-winded, very detailed Mishnah. So Gemara explains how Tana. The Bryce is commenting that the din was in the pasuk. The Mishnah told us, Zera Chomer Sorum. For every amount of area that could grow a certain amount of Sorum, a certain amount of barley, you pay Chamishim Shekel for each of those sections. So Tana, core zera, it has to be something that's able to, you could put seeds in a core as a volume. You could take a volume of barley seeds and put them in the ground below a core tfua, but not the amount of a core of the grain that grows from the ground, because a zera is very small. So there's a lot of zera in the core. But if you're going to calculate based on what grows from the ground, well, that's going to be a much smaller amount because, you know, things grow from the ground. So then in this small amount of area, if I include the tevua, I can have a volume of tevua in a small area. If I only include the seeds that go on the ground, it's going to be a much wider area that I'm referring to. So going based on a core, a volume of the seeds, not a core of what grows on top of the ground. Then the Brisa says further, Mapolis Yad, but Mapolis Shvarim. That which, if a person were to spread the seeds out with his hand, that area, and not how much seeds get spread when using the oxen to spread the field. That's the, how we're calculating the this amount, this field. And Tana Levi taught further, lo mu'uba, lo meidak. We're not talking about very thick seeds, we're not talking about very thin seeds, ella, bainly average size seeds. So this is the measurement of, again, how whatever area you're able to plant medium-sized seeds in with a mapolis yad, that's the shear that we're talking about. You pay 50 shekel for each one of those areas. And again, it has to be a volume of a core of a zera, of these seeds. Gemara says further, Hayusham Nikam Amukim. We said if there are very deep, 10 tvachim deep ditches or 10 tvachim high rocks, they're not part of the calculation. We could ignore them when calculating the area that a person's makdish. So Gemara says, okay, so granted that the 10 tvachim high or 10 tvachim deep are not part of the fields, but liktishib anpe nafshai, let them be kadosh on their own right, and at least you makdish my property, at least let them be hektish, they're not a sadeh, they're not steachuza. And they're not steachuza, you can't go based on the calculation of zerach or misorum. But they're at least, as makdish everything in my field, in this long area, so let the rocks and let the ditches be kadosh bifnei atzmo, and make me have to redeem them for whatever market value that they are. V'chitema, if you're going to say, kevin delahai base kor, love it kadshe, if you're going to tell me, since there's no sheer base kor, it's too small to put a base kor of anything, so maybe it's not going to be kadosh, kadosh shouldn't be chal on that, well, that can't be the case. V'hatani, the Braisa tells us, that sadeh, it says in the pasuk, steachuz aso. What does steh mean? Matam olam, what do we learn from this? L'fi shenemar, since it says in the pasuk, zerach omer saorim mechamishim shekel kesef, every area of zerach omer saorim, you pay a 50 shekel kesef. Ainly ella hektish kinenetza. I only know if you makdish a property that's able to hold a chomer zera chomer sorum, which is a core. How do I know minayin l'rabos lesech, which is half a core, or chati lesech, which ends to be a quarter of a core, or a saw, which is 1/30 of a core, or a tarki, which is 1/60 of a core, the chati tarki, which is 1/120 of a core, even small amount of field, you still have to do the ratio of whatever, you know, core to 50 is, you have to do 1/20 to 50, pay that amount of slum per that area of field. How do I know you could be makdish any field size? Tamalom er sadeh, mikom akom. So here as well, it's granted that the 10 tvachim ditch and the 10 tvachim high cellas are not able, not a size of a core of anything, but it still should be kadosh, like these cases of the other fields. So Amar Marukva Barcha Mahachin Minikar Milay Maim Delabnei Zuriya Ninu. Since these ditches are full of water and you can't plant on water, And therefore, you don't redeem it with the shear of Zerach HaMis or Chamishim Shekel Kesef. Chamishim Shekel Kesef is only on something that you can actually plant on, and these you can't plant on. Dekan Ami, it's also very precise, because the Katani Dumi de Slaim. The fact that it compares Nikoim to Slaim, Slaim are rocks which certainly you can't plant on, so by comparison, we're referring to ditches and Nikoim that you also can't plant on, namely that they're full of water, Shema Amina. So Gemara says, Ihach, if that's the case, Pachas B'Kanami. So then, if you're not able to plant on top of rocks, you can't plant on top of ditch filled with water, so then even when they're less than 10 tefachim deep and high, they shouldn't be part of the calculation. Why do we include that? We said only if they're 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep do we ignore them. But if they're less than that, we do include them, but you can't plant on top of these. And the Gemara says, no, honey, nigani da'are, mikre, shidra da'are nuku. When they're so small, when the rocks are so small, even though you can't plant on the rocks, and the ditches are so small, you can't plant on the water. Since they're so small, however, we call them as a part of the field. They kind of get absorbed in the field, and then therefore we could take them as part of the calculation when measuring out the area of the field. Then the Gemara says, "Vayte hekdeisha shayim v'shalosh." A person's makdish his property 2 or 3 years prior to Yovel, he pays a sela umpundayon per year. So Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa says, "V'nigra me'arkecha." Then, as the years continue to go, we have to decrease how much he owes. As it gets closer to Yovel, the less he owes. So afmin hekdeish, you always have to decrease from hekdeish as well. Meaning what? Let's say a person makdish his property, and he doesn't redeem it for another 55 years. So we don't go based on the shas of hekdesh, we go based on the shas of nepidyum. Meaning, she'im achla hekdesh shana, let's say hekdesh was holding on to it for a year, oshaim, or 2 years, because no one was poed it. So, inami, or alternatively, loachla, or they didn't eat it, they didn't use it, they just let the field lay fallow. Ela shayis elefana, but just remained under their watch. No since ela pondayon lashana. So again, even though he was makdish it year 20, and there, let's say 20 years left to Yovel, let's do it that way. So, and the guy, someone redeems it 10 years later, so you go based on when he redeems it, and even though that means Hekdesh is losing 10 years, because they were just sitting on it for 10 years, a waste of time, we go based on Shas Pidyon, how many years are remaining to Yovel, in order to calculate the redemption price. Then the Gemara says, and then from the Mishnah, Mimama Harini Nosin, the guy wants to amortize the payment, we don't listen to him. Tanur Rabban, the Brisa explains, Minayin Shim Amru Bailam Harini Nosin Davar Shana Bashana, that the Baal says, let me give you a little bit each year and I'll make it easier for me to pay off. Shain Shamalo, we don't listen to him. Tamalomar, Vichisha Vla Akarin Esha Kesef, we calculate it, meaning what does it mean Esha Kesef? Ache Ha Kesef Kulokechad. Ha Kesef, it's all one unit, you have to pay them all in one shot. And Echad Bailam, Echad Kaladam, whether it's the Baal, whether it's any other person who's redeeming the property, what's the difference? Shebailam nosin chomesh, the owner pays a fifth. The chaladim ain nosin chomesh. Anyone else who redeems it does not pay a fifth. Okay, new Mishnah tells us in the Bam now in Chafem and Alf that hekdesha ugala ain yotzim miyado biyovel. Let's say the Baal is Machdish's property, and then he's the one who redeems it from Hekdesh as well. So then, comes Yovel, he doesn't lose it. He gets to keep it during Yovel. But Gala, but no, let's say Yaakov. Yaakov is Machdish's property, and Reuven, his son, redeems his property, then Yotzei l'aviv b'Yovel. The father gets it back during Yovel. We're going to go see why this is. Let's say Gala Acher, but let's say someone else. The owner doesn't redeem it, and the son doesn't redeem it, but someone else, Oecham Mikrovim, even one of his relatives redeem it. It could be a brother, it could be a cousin, it could be an uncle, but someone else redeems it, not him or his son. Gala Miyado, they redeem it. Yotzei l'Kohanim b'Yovel. Then comes Yovel, the Baal doesn't get it back. It actually goes out to the Kohanim, Mishmar it is, whichever Kohen is working during that year of Yovel, which is during Yom Kippur, that year, whoever the Mishmar of that week is, they divide the property. So Gala Echam Nekohen. Let's say the person who redeems it is a Kohen. Reuven's Makdish is property, and a Kohen redeems the property, so Harehu Tachaz Yado, and now comes Yovel, the Kohen still holding on to this property. So Lo Yomar, the Kohen can't say, Hoyel he Yotzei l'Kohanim b'Yovel, since in a typical year that the Yovel comes, all other properties that was not redeemed by the Baal himself go to the Kohanim. Harehu Tachaz Yado, now this particular property is already under my auspices, so maybe I should keep it. Harehu Shali, let me keep it, because all properties go to Kohanim. I'm a Kohen, so let me just hold on to it. I already have a Cheskas Marikama. So that we don't listen to him, Ela Yotzei Mitachas Yado, even though he's a Kohen, we make him release it, and Mischalekes L'chol Echav HaKohanim, and it's spread amongst all the Kohanim of that particular Mishmar as the Yovel enters in. So Gemara says in the very top of Chaf Hei Amin Beis, Tanya Rabban, the Brisa teaches us, Im Lo Yigal Sasada Bailim. If it wasn't redeemed, that's referring to the Bialim. Meaning if the Bialim didn't redeem it, v'machas asadar gizbar lishacher gizbar, and if he sold it, so if it went to the gizbar, the Pasuk says, let me read the Pasuk first actually. The Pasuk says, v'im lo yigal asadar, if it wasn't redeemed, v'machas asadar, and he sold it, lishacher to someone else, lo yigal owed, he can't redeem it ever again. So im lo yigal asadar means if the Bialim didn't redeem it, and in Machar Sasada, the Gizbar sold the field to someone else, and Lishacha to someone else, La'acher v'lo l'ben. So that only if he sold it to the Ben. But let's say he sold it, when the Gizbar says selling it, it's being redeemed by someone else, it means. So if the Baal didn't redeem it, but someone else redeemed it, so then the Baal never sees it ever again. It has to be an Acher, someone else, as opposed to Beno. A Ben is not called an Acher. A Ben is considered a continuation of his father. So, but if a Ben redeems it, then it implies it would go back to the father, to the Nisha Baal. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Ata Omer, you say, L'acher v'lo ben, if he sells it to someone else, only then does he never see it again, but if he sells it to his Ben, the father does get it back. Oh, eno, maybe, L'acher means lo l'ach. Maybe Acher means someone else, but the Ach, the brother, is very much connected to the brother, the initial owner, and maybe if it was sold to the brother, then maybe the initial owner should get it back. So in essence, the Gemara is asking, who's considered closer to a person? Is his son closer to him, or is his brother closer to him? And everyone else is going to be considered Acher. That's the suffix of the Gemara. So Gemara says, no. Keshuomer Ish, when it says Ish, Hare Ach Amr, that's referring to an Ach. That even an Ach is considered an Acher. Hamani Mikayim Acher, so who is an Acher? V'lo l'ben. So the Ben, so it says Ish to an Ish, if brother's an Ish, and if he has to be an Acher is someone who's different than him, who's far away, as opposed to a brother who's considered very close to the son. So Gemara says, Hamari Yisrael Rabos is a Ben. Why are we coming to include a Ben? That a Ben is considered closer to a father, Ulahoti is an Ach, and saying a brother is not as close. Mar Bani Aben, let me. Because I want to include a son, Shekain Kam Tachas Avili Yida. When it comes to Yid, the mitzvah of Yid, if a person, let's say, buys an Amavriya, so the father has the right to marry the Amavriya if he wants, because the money he initially had paid to buy her can now be transformed into Kedushim. Now, if the father doesn't want to, the son is able to step in his father's shoes and perform Yid, which is again a type of Nisuin with Amavriya. So just like a son can step into his father's shoes, Lagabi Yid, so too when it comes to the Erechim. And Eved Ivri as well, that if a father buys an Eved Ivri and the father dies, so the son is Yorish, the father. So these are two examples where the son takes over after the father. So here as well, the son is not called an Acher. Gemara says, Adar Abba, I'd say the opposite. Mar Banisa Ach, let me include a brother, Shekain Kam Tachas Achiv Liibum. When it comes to Yibum, a person dies and leaves a widow behind without children, so the brother steps into his shoes and continues his, or begins his family, so we see that a brother is very much considered like the brother. Klum, so Gemara says, no. Don't bring me a raya from Yibum, because Klum Yesh Yibum Ela B'Makom Shein Ben. The only reason why the brother steps in, the only why it's even relevant, is because there's no son in the picture. But Ha Ben, Yesh Ben, if there is a son, Ein Yibum, then there would not be Yibum, so clearly that brother is very secondary to the existence of a son. So then the Gemara says, why is it typically the Hachatati Hachachada? So that's a very good svar, but Yosef could have taken another approach, just in terms of pure numbers, that there are two reasons why a son is more significant, Am Ivri, Yud, and Eved Ivri, and there's only one reason why a brother would stand in the shoes, which is Yibum. So two against one is another reason why you would say that the son trumps the brother. So Gemara says, Mishum di Eved Ivri, the din of Eved Ivri, that the son takes over of an Eved Ivri, Mehai Pirchanami hu dinafkalei. It's learned that from this very point here of Klum Yesh Yibum el b'makom shein ben. Meaning Yid's a given. That's based on the Psukim. Eved Ivri weren't sure. There's a suffix where the father, the initial owner, dies with Eved Ivri. Who takes over? Should it be the son or should it be the brother? And the Gemara says, well, maybe you should learn from Yibum, it should be the brother. And the Gemara says, no, Klum Yesh Yibum El B'Malkum Shein Ben. So Eved Ivri's learned from the Svar itself. It doesn't stand alone, and therefore you cannot take it as part of the calculations. So it ends up being one versus one. One given of the Yid, and the other one versus the case of Yibum. And it's really one against one. That's why they bring the Svara of Klum Yesh Yibum El B'Malkum Shein Ben. Okay, Gemara now has a shaila. Boi Rabba Bar Avua Bas. What about a daughter? Could a daughter who redeems her father's property, will that then go back to the father during Yovel? Is that like a ben or not like a ben? Will that, by her redeeming the property, will that now allow the father to get it back? Do we say Kevin Delinin Yibum, just like by Yibum, Benu Bas Kiadade Patri, a son and daughter are equal, they're the same level, in that if the widow, the Amana, has a daughter or a son, either one will exempt her from the mitzvah Yibum. So we see they are one and the same. So here's, well, maybe they should be the same. Odimra, perhaps we should say Kevin Delinin Nach with regards to Yerusha inheriting the father, Bas Mamakum Ben Ki Achar Damya. The daughter, in the presence of the son, is worthless. If there are sons, the daughters get nothing. So we see that the daughters are not considered equal to a son. So lo mokmin, therefore we shouldn't allow her if she redeemed the property. It would not revert back to the father during Yovel. So what's the answer? Tashma, the Gemara brings a raya. The Tana de Bay, Rabbi Yishmael, Kol Shu Acher, Malcolm Ben. Anyone who's an Acher relative to a Ben, meaning he or she is secondary to a son, and therefore Hainami, but Malcolm Ben Ki Acher Dami is here as well. The daughter is considered an Acher with respect to the Ben. Lagabe Sam Halacha, Lagabe Nachla. So here as well, Lagabe Erechin as well. She's considered Acher. She's an Ish Acher and won't go back to the father during Yovel. So Bari Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir asks, what about an Isha? What about a wife? A wife, let's say, who's married and she's makdish her property and she can't redeem it. Mi mamir la sadeh. So which of her relatives are able to be mamir? Meaning they're trying to save her. She couldn't deal with the field. I don't know, the costs were too much. Whatever the case is, she had to get rid of her field. And now she does not have the ability to redeem it. So there's a tova. The Gemara Pasuk says, if your son steps in your shoes and redeems it, that's a way of holding on to this sadeh. You get it back during Yovel. So if a wife, if she's makdish her property, is there any relative who could help protect that field whereby she could get it back during Yovel? So mi mamir. Are we going to say Baal Mokumla, the husband, should be able to redeem it for her and she'll get it back during Yovel? Shekain Yorsha, because if the wife dies, the husband's the first address for the Yusha. Even if she has a son, the Baal comes first. So the Baal should be the one stepping in to redeem it and protect it for her. Or then perhaps Ben Mokumla, Shekain Notel Barai Kimamusak, Kibamuchsak. Or perhaps the son is more connected to her, because granted, in terms of the order, that the husband is Yorish the wife before the sons are Yorish. But in the case when the son, let's say there's no father in the picture, so the son, when the son is Taka Yorish, he's Yorish with greater strength, because there's a din, when it comes to Yerusha, there's certain properties that are muchsak, that are owned, currently owned by the mace, and there's certain properties that are owed to the mace, but they don't have it just yet. So let's say the wife had a property that she had a lien on, that she, someone else owed her money, so she had a lien on that property, but she wasn't holding on to the property. The Reuven was using it, but she had a lien on that property, so eventually she's just going to get it back. That's called a roi. That's a roi. It's roi to come, but that's not here yet. So regarding a son who inherits the mother, we say roi kibamuchsak. We view roi as already as if she held on to it right now, and the son would be yorish yet. But with regards to a baal being yorish her wife, we don't say roi kibamuchsak. The baal only inherits that which she currently has under her possession. But something that's a roi that's going to eventually come, that's not going to go to the baal. So we see in this regard, even though in terms of order, the husband comes first before the son, in terms of the koach, the strength of the yusha, the son is greater. So who's going to step into the protect the property of the wife, the mother? The Gemara says, take it, we don't know who. So Gemara asks yet another question. Boy mine rami bar chama mi rav chista. Hekdesha pachas mishtei shanam lefnei ha-yovel. A person is makdish his property within the last 2 years of Yovel. So we already learned this pasuk, the din, that the last 2 years of Yovel does not have the kula of Giron Kesef, and one would have to pay the full 50 shekel, even though normally it's only one shekel and a pundayin per year's left. Here you pay the full 50 shekel. So Mao should take to the Kohanim. In this particular case, the guy's makdish his property within the last 2 years, do we say, if no one redeems it, if the Baal doesn't redeem it, or someone else redeems it, will the Kohanim get it? What's the Shaila? Because just remind ourselves again, if the Baal redeems his own property normally, he gets it back during Yovel. If the son redeems my property, and my son redeems it for me, I also get it back during Yovel. But if someone else redeems my property for me, then the Kohanim get it. So what happens in the case if, let's say, I makdish my property within 2 years to Yovel, and there's no gear on Kesef, will we also say, if someone else redeems my property, will the Kohanim even get the property in a situation where there is no gear on Kesef? What's the relevance? Who said Giron Kesef and Kohanim getting it have what to do with each other? So Gemara explains, Amalei, my daita. What was your having to think that just because there's no Giron Kesef, the Kohanim shouldn't get it? So it says in the Pasuk, V'nigra Me'er Kecha. It says that you do Giron Kesef, you diminish the price based on how many years left in Yovel. And it says in a few Pesukim later, not directly afterwards, V'haya Sadeh Beitzeitzah B'Yovel. The Pasuk continues to say, Kodesh La'Hashem K'Sadeh Acherim La'Kohen T'Echuzaso. And the field goes out to the Kohen. So it seems to connect the Pesukim, the Dinim of Debas Giron, that which you could pay the Giron Kesef in, that goes to the Kohanim. But Labas Giron, that which is not subject to Giron Kesef, meaning that which is Makdish and redeemed within the last 2 years, where you pay the full amount, not a Giron Kesef, maybe they're low. The Kohanim shouldn't get it. That's the that's what's driving this question here. And the words of Adraba, the opposite's the case. Im lo yigal asadeh, if a person doesn't redeem his land, v'yab asadeh b'teisah b'yovel, goes out to Yovel, v'haynami baskulahi. It's not subject to Giron Kesef, it's subject to Geula. Whenever a field is subject to redeeming it, regardless of how much, whether there's a hetter of Giron Kesef or not, either way, if it's Bas Geula, so then it goes to the Kohen. That's what Patek says. But if it's not Bas Geula, which I'm not sure what the case would ever be, so then they wouldn't go to the Kohen. But nothing to do with the Giron Kesef, and therefore this field would, if it were redeemed by someone else, it would go Yotza LeKohen. Gemara now says, Ga'ala Echem Nakonim, if one of the Kohanim redeemed the property, we had this Havmina, he had this Havmina, that maybe he should get to keep it during Yovel. So Tanur Ban of the Brisa said, L'Kohen T'yechuz Aso, when the field goes out in the Yovel year, so even though some other party redeemed it from the initial owner, that one who bought it from Gizbar, he loses out during Yovel, and it goes out, L'Kodesh L'Hashem, L'Kohen T'yechuz Aso. So Malatam Lona, what would he learn from here? Minan the Sadash Yov to the Kohanim. But Yovel, how do you know a field that goes out during Yovel goes to the Kohanim? The Gala Echam the Kohanim, and if some one of the Kohanim themselves redeem it, Minayin Shelo Yomer, how do we know that that Kohen shouldn't say, and he can't claim, Hol Yotzeh, the Kohen, it's into normal field, when it goes out during Yovel, goes to the Kohen, V'arei Tachas Yadi, and now I'm a Kohen, I'm holding on to it. So one might think, he would say, Shili, so let it just stay in my possession, and no one else could get it from me. But Dinu, and it's very logical to say this, because in Mishal Achem Ani Zoche, if I'm able to be Zoche, other people's properties during Yovel, so certainly Bishal asked me, Lo Koshi, and certainly I should have a stronghold on my own property that I myself bought back from Gizbar. I bought from someone else through the Gizbar. Tamalomar, Achuzaso, it's his Achuza, Shalo, Veinze, Shalo. Only the Achuza, only a person who is Yorish, the father, the son, only they get it back, it's Achuzaso. But this isn't his Achuza, this wasn't a Yush of his, this he bought from. And that which is only bought does not have the din of holding on to it, and therefore it's Yotze from this guy, even though he's a Kohen, and all the Kohanim have to split it. How Keita has his work, it's Yotze Mitachas Yadu, leaves his possession, Umischalekesh Le'echav HaKohanim, that goes and divided amongst his brothers, the Kohanim. Okay, the bottom of Chaf Heim Ebeiz, the Mishnah tells us, Higia Yovel, let's say Yovel arrives below Nigala, and the Baal didn't redeem it, and no one else redeemed it either. So again, normally the guy himself has the first right to redeem it, if not him, the son, if not the son, someone else. But let's say no one redeemed it. So now Yovel comes, you have this property that's Hekdesh in the hand of the Gizbar. What happens? The Mishnah says, HaKohanim of that particular Mishmar during Yovel year, during the Yovel time, during Yom Kippur, Nichnas in Lesocha, they're able to access the field, they get the field, in other words, and they're Zoche, they keep it forever, V'nosin Estemet, but they have to pay the value for it, they have to pay the Hekdesh for it. So they have the first right, and they pay for it. That's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon agrees but disagrees. He Omer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nichnasin, the Kohanim are Zoche to the field. They get it. That much he agrees to. V'lo Nosin, but they don't have to pay for the field. That's where he argues. But they both agree, both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree that the Kohanim get it. They just debate whether the Kohen has to pay for it. And the third sheet of the mission is Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lo Nichnasin, V'lo Nosin, they can't go in the field. They don't get money for the field. Ela Nikres, Stevetushin, is called Stevetushin, which means a field that was abandoned. Aja Yovel Sheni, that remains another 50 years until the next Yovel. Higia Yovel Sheni, the second cycle of Yovel arrives. Ve'lo Nigala, it hadn't been redeemed yet. Nikres Retushin is called a really abandoned field. Aja Yovel Shlishin, until the third Yovel. Uli Olam Ein HaKohanim Nichnasin L'Socha Aja Galenu Acher. And the only time a Kohen gets it is if a non-family member, where the Baal or the son doesn't redeem it, someone else redeems it, then the Kohanim get it during the Oval year. But if no one redeemed it, it goes on the cycle over and over again until someone finally redeems it, and that someone, when they redeem it, he loses it during Yovel, only then do the Kohanim get it.
Why would he want to redeem it then if he never loses it anyway?
Because he pays for it, he gets a few years out of it. He pays a shekel and pundai, and he has the right to use it for a couple of years until Yovel comes. So then the Gemara wants to know, what's the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Eliezer? So my time with Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that the Kohanim can enter into these fields. Again, these fields were kadosh. No one redeemed them. Yovel comes, the Kohanim get it, but they have to pay for their right to use it. So how do we know? Gamar, he's a gzer shava, kodesh, mi makdish bias. And so we haven't learned about Makdish Bayis, but we'll see. But Makdish Bayis, when they have access to it, those who are Makdish a house, they only get to use it if they pay money for it. So Mala Halon Bedomim Afkan Bedomim, just like over there by Makdish Bayis, the only time you're able to access this house is if you pay for it. Here as well, by the Gzer Shava, you have to pay for the right to use the Sadeh. And Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, Gamar Yos is a Gzer Shava, but his Gzer Shava is different. We know a person ain't Adam done Gzer Shava Mi'atma. A person can't make his own Gzer Shava. El Mirabli has a Halach Moshe Sinai. But as we said in the past, but not every Gzer Shava, all the details were clear. So what they knew was, the Mesorah was that there is a Gzer Shava about the Kohanim using this Sada. That much they knew. But where the Gzer Shava was, they didn't know. So they're having a Machlokas. So Rabbi Shimon understood the Gzer Shava was referring to a different din. It's Kodesh Kodesh. He had the words even. They knew Kodesh Kodesh, but they didn't know where to learn from. So while Rabbi Yehuda learned from Makdish Bayis, Rabbi Shimon thought the Gzer Shava was Mikif Se'at Saras, completely different topic, but still the word of Kodesh is used. It says, Al Shnei Kvasim Kodesh Yulashem Lakoim. So there, the Kohanim get the right to, after the Karbanos of Tzeres, of Shavuos, the Kohanim eat from the Kvasim. And the Kohanim don't have to pay for it. So just Mala Halon, just like by the Kivse Tzeres, Bechinam, they get to use it for free. Afkan Bechinam, here too, they get to use the field for free as well. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether they have to pay for it, whether they have to get it, whether they get it for free. So Rabbi Yehuda Nami Neilath Mikivse Atzeres. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda use the Gzer Shava from Kivse Atzeres to say that Kohanim get to use it bechinam? Danim Kachir Bede Gabayis Mikachir Bede Gabayis, and Ve'ein Danim Kachir Bede Gabayis Mikachir Mizbeach. Because it's more sensible to compare Makdish Bayis and Makdish Shadda. Those are two dinim where it's Kedush is Bedek Abayis. It's only Kadosh vis-a-vis its value, as opposed to Kifse Ateres, it's Kedushim is Beach, a completely different type of carbon, Kachim, and therefore he doesn't use Kifse Ateres as a model. Rabbi Shimon, Nami, Neilath, and Makdish Bayis. So why doesn't Rabbi Shimon use Kodesh Kodesh for Makdish Bayis? That's more like the case of Makdish Shadda. So he responds back, Danim davar shematan lakohanim, midavar shematan lakohanim, vein danim davar shematan lakohanim, midavar shematan lakohanim. We don't learn, we learn something that both of these cases, he learned the case of Kivse Ateres is called a matana, and the case of the Erechina, Steachuz, is also called a matana, as opposed to the Makdish Bayis is not considered one of the 24 Matnos Kahunas. There's no din of Makdish Bayis. The coin never gets a bias. It doesn't happen. There's a certain din of who redeems and who doesn't redeem it, but there is no din that the coin never gets it, and therefore it better to learn matana from matana of Kivse Ateres to teach me the din of a Steachuz. Okay, we'll stop here. I might not be around tomorrow. I'm not sure.